All right, welcome to our stock market update. Today is Tuesday, October 19th. And with me in the studio, as always, my head coach, Mark Ott. Hey, Mark, how's it going?
Good morning. I'm doing well, Marcus. How about yourself?
Good. So I thought that today we should talk about what to invest in, Bitcoin versus stocks, because today we have the first Bitcoin futures ETF to launch, and it will launch today under the symbol ticker BITO. So, I mean, looking at what's happening with the S&P 500 and Bitcoin, I thought it would be good to draw a comparison and say, okay, what should we invest in? So let's take a look at this.
Yeah, and this is where, you know, Bitcoin, you know that there's been the hype for years now, and we've seen some really, you know, meteoric moves with Bitcoins and other cryptos. And I think that this Bitcoin ETF, it's going to attract more attention, right? Because ProShares is a big ETF you know, fund. They offer all of these ETFs, and they've been trying to get a Bitcoin ETF for a while now. They do have Grayscale, which is a trust that some Bitcoin traders have invested in. And but Grayscale is an over-the-counter stock or ETF or fund, right? So it's a little harder to manage, a little harder to trade. I think that this opens the door to more active trading of Bitcoin futures with this new ETF. And Marcus, like you said, should you invest in Bitcoin or stocks? And I think it's a fair question.
Right. Because, I mean, if you look at this, so Bitcoin for the year, let's just quickly check here. I believe for the year, Bitcoin is up 114% year to date. So 114%. And as we can see, Bitcoin right now is approaching the all-time highs again. Now, in comparison, the S&P 500 is up only 20%. So this would be for the SPX index. Now, we know that individual stocks react differently, but even if you look at the highest flying stocks here for this year, this would be Google with around 63% and Microsoft with around 40% here. But this is not even, I mean, even Google is not half at what Bitcoin was doing here this year. And especially if you look back a little bit more here on Bitcoin, I mean, we see this phenomenal run where Bitcoin was running from 10,000 to 60,000. So this is 600%. So, I mean, let's just look in comparison here to the S&P 500. And I thought it might make sense to bring up Bitcoin and overlay the S&P 500 chart so that we can take a look at this. Because surprisingly, it seems, what did I do? Bitcoin, there we go. Bitcoin and compared with the SPX. It seems that there's a correlation between Bitcoin and SPX. Let's see, why can't I add it here? I did this yesterday and it worked beautifully. And just this morning when I hit compare SPX, there we go. Let's use this. Doesn't do it. Anyhow, so not this morning. But which is okay. So let's just talk about it. So the S&P 500, if you look at this at a weekly chart. Oh, and I have some really super colorful things here right now, it seems. Yeah, okay. So we had quite a few dips here that we should talk about. So the S&P 500 over the last three years had a few dips. So the first was here a 10% dip. And again, we're just looking at the last 3 years that happened in January 2018. Then we had a 17% dip somewhere around here. And then, of course, during the COVID crisis, we had a massive 32% dip right here. Now, during the same time, and this is where I'm using right now a different color for Bitcoin, because I want to compare what Bitcoin is. It is the cryptocurrency, right? I mean, there's others, and we'll talk about this in a moment. So during this time, we had Bitcoin that was down here, 31%, so three times as much. Here, it was 51%. That's also exactly three times as much, right? While the S&P was down 17%. And then last year, 47%. So this just shows that in Bitcoin or in the cryptocurrencies, the swings are still amplified. And if you go back here to Bitcoin, this is where we'll see, yeah, definitely some wild swings going up here from what, a few hundred dollars to $18,000-$20,000, 20K, going all the way back to, where was it, around 5K, then swinging right back up from the 5K to 60K, going back to 30,000 and now back to 60,000. So what do you think about this?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. With Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies in general, you have more volatility. And that volatility makes it attractive, I think, to some speculators. There's some gamblers too. I don't want to, you know, label all crypto traders as gamblers, but there's that attraction to potential more volatile moves that you could experience. And so it's that kind of, you have two camps, one that get rich quick, maybe, or people who just are diehard Bitcoin buyers who say that this thing's going to the moon and I'm just holding it forever. And so far they've done pretty well, but you have to expect these huge swings and dips. And I think that's where some people get a little confused, because they think that Bitcoin would trade like stocks, but just give you more profits. But you also have to expect the downside as well.
Right. And we need to be very clear. So the S&P 500 is a stock index, while Bitcoin or any cryptocurrencies are exactly this. It is a currency. And we also need to understand, how do currency moves? And currency move just based on supply and demand. For example, Bitcoin, there's only a limited amount of Bitcoins that can be mined. And I believe that right now we are at around 80% of all Bitcoin coins that can be mined. Could be a little bit more, not quite sure. I think there's the last thing. Do you know exactly what the number is?
I believe. I thought it was a little bit more, closer to 90. I could be wrong. I just know that there are 20 million coins. So that's it.
Good.
So there's scarcity there.
That's it. So we have scarcity there. This means that as more people are adopting Bitcoin and as more companies are adopting Bitcoin, the demand will be higher, and therefore Bitcoin can surge higher. But the question is, okay, how exactly do you value this? Because most currencies are pegged to another currency. We know that most currencies are somewhat always compared to the dollar, whether we use the euro or the Japanese yen or the Mexican peso or whatever it might be, the Canadian dollar, the Australian dollar. Here with Bitcoin, yes, we are comparing it to the US dollar, but it's not that Bitcoin, it has a country behind it where we can measure the GDP, for example. So it's definitely more supply and demand driven than other currencies here.
Yeah, I once read, I can't remember who it was, but someone compared it to art, which I thought was interesting, right? Because art has zero value unless people want to buy art, right? The more people want to buy that piece of art, you could have a piece of paper worth millions of dollars because so many people want it. But the underlying, you know, that piece of paper doesn't mean anything, right? It's not backed by profits and, you know, profit margins and, you know, companies or a country's GDP, like you said. So it's all about scarcity. It's all about supply and demand.
Right. So this is definitely a huge plus for Bitcoin and also other cryptocurrencies. Now, on the other hand, we got to talk about some threats for these cryptocurrencies. For example, I mean, one of them is regulations. We know that recently China banned cryptocurrencies, period, whatsoever. And we also know that here in the United States that the SEC chair, Gary Gensler, is not a fan of cryptocurrencies. So we always have to keep this in mind to see what regulations are there. And this is where it goes back to the ETF that is being launched today is not actually based on Bitcoin, it is based on Bitcoin futures. And the reason why the SEC allowed it, because they can regulate Bitcoin futures. And we'll see. That's definitely something to consider here in terms of regulation. And this is what we saw earlier here, where Bitcoin several times took a dive when we had new regulations coming out. But then it's like a rubber duck. It pops right back up, right? Like a rubber duck in the bathtub that you try to hold underwater and then poof, it pops right back up here. But that's definitely one of the threats for Bitcoin here.
It is. And you know what will the SEC do? It will be interesting to see because I think at some point they're more interested in supporting it, just U.S. government and SEC, but they want to get their cut, right? And they want to make sure that it's done in a manner where money just isn't being hidden, and that's of course a benefit to Bitcoin. Now, I do think in China, it's all about the Chinese government creating their own coin. I think that's why they're slapping Bitcoin around.
Yeah,
But still,
they just want more control.
the
Okay,
point is.
also, I mean, the cryptocurrency space is cluttered. There's many, many coins, and more coins are popping up almost daily. Do you know how many coins are there overall? Isn't it hundreds or thousands of coins that we have out there?
I don't know at this point because I think you have so many little altcoins, it could be a considerable number. But then you have the mainstream ones that are being offered. So I don't know.
Right. And the other thing to keep in mind is what we just said, the volatility. There we go. Volatility. Now, this is approximately how you spell volatility. Okay, you get the
I think
idea.
it's
Because,
called volatility.
yeah,
That's a
because
new
you get the
word.
idea. So, for example, we have Tom Lee, who actually yesterday said, well, you know what? The new Bitcoin futures ETF could drive the cryptocurrency well over 100,000. And then on the same day, you have the Bitcoin bull Mark Yusko sees treble at 60,000 and say it is overbought. So I mean, you hear both sides of the story, and both came out. I think Mark Yusko said it on Sunday, and then on Monday we had Tom Lee saying it can drive it above. And that's what we said earlier. We definitely have more volatility here. So let's talk because we said, should you invest in cryptocurrencies or stocks? Mark, what do you think?
So full disclosure, I do own some cryptos. After that dip in June, I bought Cardano, Solana, Ethereum, and I've picked up a few other coins, including Bitcoin. So I do have cryptocurrency exposure. But here's the thing: as a crypto buyer, I believe you have to expect bigger dips and more volatility. We always say trade with money that you can afford to lose. And for me personally, I wouldn't be surprised if I experienced a 50% drop on those crypto accounts. And I'm prepared for that. And I think that that's important. Now, with my stock trading, I wouldn't expect a 50% drop, right?
Right.
So it's all about volatility there. And I think that that's the key. That's the main takeaway here. At least for me, I would expect a 50% drop like we've seen in the past.
Right. So crypto versus stocks. Yes, I would say to both. And just based on the volatility, so for me personally, I would look to do maybe around 10% in crypto and 90% in stocks until I see that this volatility comes down. Then I might shift, but I do believe it might make sense to invest in cryptos long term. I think cryptos are here to stay. They're not going away. I mean, if you look back in 5 years ago, maybe 2016, 2017, there were many people that said, oh, you know what? Cryptos are not here to stay. Cryptos will never make it. They will never be adopted. But I think the last 5 years have been proven that cryptos are here to stay, and I do believe they're a viable way to invest. But it's almost like art, as you said. Well, I don't know if we should really compare crypto to art, but the point is, I would put all of my monies in crypto, but it does make sense to put some money into crypto. So this would be my take on it. What do you think?
Agreed.
All right.
Agreed.
Okay. We are meeting with our mastermind right now. So this is where we will trade stocks and options because this is still the majority of our investments and of our trading that we do. If you would like to know what exactly we are doing, there will be a few other videos popping up. Take a look at these, and we will see you in the next stock market update.
Happy trading, everybody.